La muerte. Death. It is said that the very word burns the lips, and yet in some cultures, people dance with it, make fun of it, and swallow it whole like a sugar skull. Ritual helps us to hold ourselves together when everything else is falling apart around us, when we feel that the grief is so deep that we can't imagine a tomorrow or even the next breath. From the Byzantine chants of the Greek Orthodox funeral sacraments focusing on the resurrection to the Buddhist rituals of samsara, crossing over, practicing breathing into your own death, to the colorful celebration of the days of the dead, Los Días de los Muertos, in Mexico and other parts of Latin America, rituals are designed to open us up, to crack us open into another reality, into another dimension. Communal mourning rituals place us at the crossroads where we contemplate our own mortality. They can also help us to begin the healing process in the face of profound and indescribable grief. This is a safe place to bring your open, broken heart to sit with grief today and always. You need not leave your grief at the door. This is what community is all about. For Mesoamerican peoples, the soul's trajectory had different destinations to regions of mystery, different levels, and different lengths of time getting there depending on the cause of death. Most people who died went to Mictlan, the underworld. Warriors and women who died during childbirth went to the same heaven in a region of the, in the sky, accompanied on their journey by the sun. After 4 years, they were transformed into hummingbirds and monarch butterflies. Others went to the paradise of the water gods, where everything was always green. The water gods are singing today, aren't they? Infants went to a special place where there was a giant nursing tree which produced abundant milk pots to nurse the babies for eternity. The Aztec solar calendar reflected many religious celebrations and festivals, including many associated with death, such as the Feast of the Little Ones, Los Angelitos, which is celebrated before November 1st. These feasts were known as the offering of flowers, Tlaxochimaco. After the Spanish colonization, Christian missionaries unsuccessfully tried to eradicate these practices, right? As a result, they became part of the Catholic calendar and merged with All Souls Day, or Day of All Hallows. Today, these pre-Hispanic religious rituals of making offerings are alive in the tradition of altares, altar making. And I am so proud to remember my grandmother, Abuelita Rosario, who was an altar maker. The bones of the ancestors at this time of year are once again fertilized, humankind is renewed, and we reestablish our relationship and interdependence with the divine and each other. The mixture of the scent of the marigolds, the incense, copal, and the candles lets the spirits of our beloveds know that we remember them, that we have prepared a feast for them, maybe with some sweet bread, maybe a shot of whiskey or tequila, maybe a piece of their favorite candy. We remember them. We honor them. I began building community altars for the Day of the Dead back in the late 80s when our communities were being ravaged by AIDS. There was so much death, so many funerals, so many families who could not find consolation and compassion in the churches that had shunned and discarded their children. We created a communal ritual to honor the memory of their loved ones. We cried together as we made paper flowers, lit candles, shared stories, and placed our loved ones' photographs on the altars, and we named them and responded presente. They are here with us. At that time, I was fresh out of law school, and they assigned me to a hospice because back then there were no treatments. People were dying. They used to say they are dying like flies, and it was so true. We went to 2, 3, 4, 5 funeral services a month, and it was never enough. I spent my days at the hospice not doing legal work, but giving hugs. Back then, people were afraid to touch. People were afraid to be in the same room, to breathe the same air, to offer someone a glass of water. We were there with the nurses. They were ministering to the people. That's where I got my calling for ministry. It took me almost 15 years to answer that call, but I am here today because of the experience that I had among the people in that hospice. The ritual celebration of the Days of the Dead, like Unitarian Universalism, is about community building. And although as a denomination, as a liberal faith, we may not be seen as offering too much in terms of comfort in the afterlife, this we can say, and this we know. We don't preach about individual salvation. We need one another to save each other in this broken, hurting world. We need one another to heal and find purpose and meaning in our days. Our gift to each other is our open, broken heart. Through the cracks, we receive the light of others to rekindle our own. Today, we commemorate the Days of the Dead together. We build a community altar together. We know there are many of us grieving among us. We know that one death stirs up grief for the previous one. We know that death takes many shapes, and sometimes it's the end of a relationship. It's the end of a way of seeing ourselves. It's the end of a path that we held on to dearly for many years. And now we are called to seek new ways to transform ourselves, and we experience grief and loss from that. We hold that as well. We pray for that as well. Beloveds, may we find in this ancient Mesoamerican ritual that has been adopted all over the world, may we find ritual as a gift, not just to honor our loved ones, but in the process, find the gift of beloved community. Ashe, amen, and blessed be. So this morning, we have the honor and the pleasure of welcoming a dear friend and colleague, Reverend Marisol Caballero. We have just had a drum. I don't know if you remember what drum is, but it is the organization by and for people of color within our denomination, within the UUA, to support each other. And they have been meeting for a couple of days and caucusing, and ARE, our allies and supporters, have been meeting as well. And I know there are a couple of you have been there. I think Heidi and Beth and Mary and maybe some other people have been there. And so how wonderful that we can welcome not one, but two friends. Christina also is with us, my namesake, as we say in Spanish, mi tocaya, because we have the same name. And I would love to invite you to come up and just lift up our ancestors and tell us a little bit about drum and why we are who we are.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being so welcoming, and this is such a beautiful service. I want to thank the Reverend Doctor for sharing with us a little bit about her call to ministry, to this ministry of this faith. And my call, it really does come from drum. I grew up UU, and I didn't know that professional ministry was a thing because I grew up in West Texas, and we just had a teeny tiny little lay-led fellowship. So when I went to college in Austin, Texas, one of the interim co-ministers was the Reverend Marjorie Bowens Wheatley, who is no longer with us, and it's a deep, deep, gaping loss still that our denomination faces with her passing. So seeing a woman of color as a 19-year-old in a stole and gown and leading a church service revolutionized my thought. I changed my major. I started on the track toward ministry. And she was the first person to say to me, "This is, you're doing the right thing. You have a genuine call to ministry, and we need you." What I quickly discovered is that though I'd grown up UU, in almost any UU space, I felt like and was reminded that my whole person wasn't represented in our faith. I could be theologically at home, but not culturally, linguistically, musically. And so more and more and more, the presence of the time with, the support of, the rituals with UU people of color has just so strengthened me. And sometimes, at times, I have to say, allowed me to continue to be Unitarian Universalist. So I am asking you all to be generous. I understand that we're going to share a portion of the plate today with drum. We have really, really suffered after the recession. The UUA had to tighten its belt, and some of the first programs to be defunded, divested from, were people of color, namely the support of drum annually. During that time, we were led by Maria Cristina as president, as she held on with her dear life so that we didn't fold as an organization. And now I have the great honor of stepping into Drum's presidency. I'm currently president-elect, and at New Orleans General Assembly this June, I will be following in her gigantic footsteps. So we do ask you to be generous. Every penny does help us. We are member-supported organization, and we are so integral to the vision of a Unitarian Universalism that is truly multicultural. Thank you in advance for your generosity, and thank you for your great welcome here for me today.